Psalm 66. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Now we see there is no author given to this, no human author. We see who it's ascribed to. It's to the chief musician. We see the nature of this. This is a song, a spiritual song, and it is a psalm. Two of those three things that are mentioned in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. We don't know who wrote it, though. We don't know what the occasion was. And that's just fine, because we will not be tempted in any way to think that this is something that is limited to a certain time or to a certain place. This is for all believers, and it is based upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it's only in him, of course, that we have any grace. It's only in him, of course, that we have any what we would consider good, whether in this life or the life to come. The psalmist here, obviously, has been through great trouble of some sort. That's alluded to there in verses 8 through 12. It's not just a little thing. It's not some hangnail that he's talking about here. It's great difficulty indeed. He looks, of course, to see that it is God himself who led the people, who led him in particular through this. You, O God, have tested us. It's not something that happened because of bad luck. It's not something that happened because of fate. It's not something that happened and we know not why. It's just a random occurrence. No, it, like all things, is in the hand of God. It, like all things, comes through God's appointed mediator, the King of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. You, in verse 10, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Now, I don't know if you children know how that happens, but there are rocks that have the precious metal silver. And they are crunched up. If you were a rock, do you think that would feel good? And then they are smashed further. And then they are put through an extremely hot, flaming furnace to burn off the rock and leave that it is so hot that the silver turns into this bright, glowing liquid. Do you think you would like to be cast into a furnace like that and burned up like that? But that's what he is saying. This psalmist is saying, whatever this trial was, it was like that. Crushed and heated. But what came out was something that was precious, of course. He goes on to say, you brought us into the net. Think, children, this is just like some poor bird or fish trapped. You laid affliction on our backs, just like a super heavy backpack. You caused men to ride over our heads. Imagine being trampled by horses. You made us go through fire and through water. Okay? Whatever the trial was, God sent it to the psalmist, and it was very hard indeed. But, as the psalmist says, you brought us out to rich fulfillment there in verse 12. It's no wonder that the psalmist is rejoicing. He found in all this hardship, in all this trouble, that God in Jesus Christ is faithful. That is why he could start out saying, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. This is something not merely for the Jews. This is not merely something for Israel, to make it a little wider still. No, this joy is for all peoples. For all peoples are to be coming and yielding themselves to Jesus Christ. All people are to be singing out the honor of his name there in verse 2 and making his praise glorious. All nations and peoples are to say to him, how awesome are your works, through the greatness of your power your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. All nations shall be yielded to God in Jesus Christ. It's simply not true that there's going to be just this little dwindling, pathetic remnant. No, all shall be yielded as Christ rules over all things. The psalmist says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome and is doing toward the sons of men. He's now looking back. He'd been in those first four verses looking forward. He looks back. It's the God who shall be blessing us is the God who already did. Look what he's done. He's turned the sea into dry land there at the Red Sea. We went through the river, that is the Jordan, on foot. And you can read about that in the book of Joshua. There we will rejoice in him. He rules. Now we're getting into the present by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. And God certainly will not. It is because of all this that the psalmist talks about going into the house, that is to the tabernacle or the temple with burnt offerings and with these sacrifices here. All this, of course, is looking to Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the ultimate sacrifice, the one who went through a far worse trial, bearing the sins of all his people on the cross. And the one who came through, as we saw there in verse 12, into a rich fulfillment indeed at his resurrection. It is because Jesus lived the perfect life, saw all this, and relied upon it. It is because he went to his atoning death on the cross and was raised, having taken care of, having paid off the penalty of sin, that the psalmist, it's because of Jesus that the psalmist is able to say this. And it is because of Jesus that we can take this to ourselves as well. For God at times sees fit to put us through trial and trouble. God sees fit to make things difficult for us, to refine us, so that we will come forth eventually as gleaming and precious silver, with all the nasty, or at least useless, rock crushed out and burned off. We will be a glory and an exaltation to him, and he shall make us to praise him. Others we'll talk to. Others will cry out to and will say, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I'll declare what he has done for my soul. Yes, he's done this for us because of what Christ has already gone through. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, says the psalmist, and that's certainly the case. But we thank God that one who never knew sin is the one whom God heard. And because of that, our sin is not held against us, so that Jehovah will hear us. Certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer, and the psalmist, and all of God's people, because of Jesus, his person and work, say, blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I want to close by noting that Psalm 66 is the first of several that has a very obvious New Testament reference, that is looking well beyond the nation of Israel. It is one that is looking to the Gentile lands in this New Testament day. 66, 67, and 68, all very explicitly are that way. We can rejoice in the fact that we live in the times that were foreseen then. We are living, fulfillment of the prophecy here of all nations coming to God. It's with this in mind then that we will joy with the psalmist as we sing this first part of Psalm 66.